And Catherine Sophia is trained by trainer John Service, who, of course, is no stranger to winning big races. You remember him training Smarty Jones, who nearly pulled off the Triple Crown back in 2004. He saddled more than 1,500 winners in his career, and he's with us now here on HRRN. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the time and happy to have you on board. Catherine Sophia has been absolutely brilliant. She's 6-for-8 lifetime. She's 2-for-2 at Parks, and now you get the champ, Songbird, coming. Well, she's coming to your house now, John. That's got to be an advantage.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a big advantage. We've been on the road quite a bit with Catherine, so she's only been here a couple weeks herself. But, you know, it's nice to be able to stay close to home for me for a change.
Yeah, the traveling gets a little old after a while. How do you guys do it on the East Coast? You got to run it like 52 different tracks.
Yeah, you need quite a few assistants, and I mean it's good because it gives you a lot of opportunities to run if races don't fill and that kind of stuff with having all these racetracks close by. But you certainly keep moving, that's for sure.
All right, so nobody has been able to get by Songbird yet. She's a perfect 10 for 10. How do you do it with Catherine Sophia later today?
You know, I have no idea. I have no idea. I mean, we'll have to see how the race sets up, and, you know, I'll let Javier take the reins, and hopefully it works out.
Yeah, Javier Castellano reunited with Catherine Sophia after Paco Lopez won the Princess of Silmar aboard her last time out on September 3rd. Let's talk about the time that she's had between the Kentucky Oaks and where she is now. She has that huge effort back on May 6th, wins the Oaks. She's third in the Acorn after that. Then you give her some time and bring her back last time out for that huge win in the Princess of Silmar. What have these past few months been like for Catherine Sophia?
Well, they were well-deserved, certainly. You know, I tried freshening her a little bit to shorten back up for the Acorn, and, you know, probably wasn't the best thing to do, the fact that she ran the race she ran. And we had decided that the Acorn, she was going to get a freshening after that anyway. And she's enjoyed it. I mean, she's trained really well. I was tickled with her Princess of Silmar effort because it didn't take a lot out of her. It actually set her up really good for this race, and she's coming into it great.
Yeah, it looked like the perfect prep race. You know, let's go back to the Ashland. I thought that was kind of a phony baloney race, and it's kind of proven to be that way with Weep No More not doing anything afterwards, and Rachel's Valentina's retired. I loved your filly in the Kentucky Oaks because I just thought that the race didn't set up for her. She never really seemed comfortable. Was that the case?
Yeah, I mean, it was just the race didn't set up well, and Javier was forced to move, you know, I think way earlier than he wanted to. And you know, I mean, she ran out of gas late and got run down. But, you know, certainly set her up really well for the Oaks, that's for sure.
John, when did you first start to get the sense that she was a really special filly?
I guess it would probably be after the first race at Gulfstream. Her first two races, she was very impressive, but she went right to the lead and basically just, you know, just galloped those horses into the ground. Her first race at Gulfstream, when she stumbled leaving the gate and had to settle for third or fourth and sit there and relax so nice. And when Joelle called on her, I mean, she went on about her business, and that's when I knew that she was a quality horse.
You know, you've been around some quality fillies in your career. You trained Jostle back in 2000, who was a multiple grade one winner. You had Round Pond, who won the grade one Acorn in 2005. There have been some special fillies you've been around. What is it about the good ones that set them apart?
You know, not to be cliche, but I would say it's their heart. You know, they're gritty. Most of them have attitudes. You know, they want to be pampered like fillies do, but they also, you know, want to be tough like a boy if it comes down to it. And it's funny because all three of these fillies that you just mentioned were slow coming around. I mean, early on as two-year-olds, none of them really showed a lot of talent. And once the light went on and they started to come around, it was, you know, it was actually pleasurable because you're like, wow, you know, where'd that come from? And then just to see them improve and just get better and better, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's nice when they surprise you, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You mentioned attitude, and you said usually they have a bit of attitude about them. Maybe with a Colt, you would call it a bit of a swagger. Does Catherine Sophia have an attitude to her?
She does. She's gotten a lot better, but she is an extremely difficult horse to groom. I guess she's just very ticklish. But when you rub on her, I mean, she tries to kill you. You got to have a shank on her. You got to have her tied up. And when she was a two-year-old, she first came into the barn. You know, we have horses coming in and out all the time, and I try to keep the two-year-olds split up between the grooms so one groom doesn't get stuck with too many two-year-olds. So subsequently, you know, groom might have to give up a horse to take another horse, that type of thing. And I think the first 3-4 months she was in my barn, she had three different grooms. Every groom gave her up first shot they got. she was just so difficult to rub.
Yeah, she seems like the Rodney Dangerfield of fillies. The $30,000, did you pick her out?
I did not. I did not, no. No, I was just fortunate enough that Mr. Zachney had decided to split some horses up that year between a few different trainers, and I was one of the recipients, and luckily for me, I got her.
Yeah, talk about the ownership, John. Cash is king. You mentioned Mr. Zachney. Tell me a little bit about the owners.
Super guy, very generous. He has, you know, to give you an example of his generosity, he has a following of friends that he's known since high school. And, you know, they came out for the Oaks, and I'm sure they'll be here today for the Cotillion. And, you know, and he's given them pieces of a horse here and there and stuff. And I mean, he's one of those guys, you know, with the Alex lemonade stand. He's a very, very generous guy, and he's put a lot of money into the game since Fleet Alex to try to come up with a good horse, and I'm tickled to death that he's come up with another good one, and I'm even happier that I got to be the trainer.
You know, it's interesting, as John was talking about, you know, the grooms and how Catherine Sophia can be a bit temperamental. Let's go with that for now. I remember at Saratoga, I stopped by to see David Fox, and he was getting ready to start Sheer Drama. And she's another one, multiple grade one winner, who is a bit nasty if you get by her. And she'll actually reach out and try to bite you when you walk by if you're not careful. And I think it's just a trait with, as John said, with some of these, you know, really top-notch fillies.
Yeah, sometimes they can be a little cranky.
I'll tell you a funny story real quick. We're at Keeneland, and it's early in the morning, and I think Sheer Drama had just run the day before. And she was walking in the shed row, and we couldn't catch Catherine. And, I mean, she wouldn't let us in the stall. And finally, David says, he said, let's try Sheer Drama. So we walked up to the front of the stall with Sheer Drama and stood Sheer Drama there. And sure enough, Catherine came right out to see who it was, and we were able to catch her. But without Sheer Drama, I don't know if we'd even got her that morning. She was being a handful.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Unreal. Talking with John Service here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, the Grade 1 Cotillion coming up 4:55 Eastern Time. And we'll see if Catherine Sophia can knock off Songbird. Nobody's been able to do it yet. We'll see if she can pull it off. You said earlier, John, you don't know what the key is. You said you'll see how the race develops. In your mind, if this race had to develop in a certain way, one way, what would it be?
Me winning. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to give away too much of what we're thinking of doing. I'm going to talk with Javier. There's not a lot of speed in the race. You know, it's short field. We're going to have to see how it sets up.
How cool would it be if she won the race? Have you thought about that at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought about that quite a bit. As a matter of fact, I've thought about it for about 7 months now. you know, this was a race. This race and the Kentucky Oaks were two races that we put on the schedule back in February, Mr. Zachney and I. And, you know, being that we're both from this area, you know, we're both living here. And you know, have a lot of friends here, and to do it in your hometown would be very, you know, very exciting.
Yeah, I think that's a feather in your cap too, that you guys are taking this shot and are you know, taking her home to show her off to the hometown crowd. I think that's really great.
Well, you know, again, like I said, you know, Chuck Zachney is a very generous guy, and you know, when they put the Princess of Sylmar race out there, you know, I just mentioned it to Chuck, and he was right on board. He goes, "What do you think?" And I said, "Well, you know, it's a little close to the Cotillion, but since, you know, the fact that we're freshening her and everything, I think it'd be a perfect race to set her up for the Cotillion." He said, "Fine, let's do it. Hometown, you know, everybody be here. One thing about it, we want to travel far." So,
John, you know that track as well as anybody, that particular surface. Can it be a bit quirky for horses that come in and try it from out of town?
You know, it's not really quirky. I think you just have to watch, you know, races leading up to your race, because it changes all the time. Sometimes you have speed holds like crazy, and then other times it doesn't. So you really have to pay attention to the races leading up on that particular day. But as far as needing a race over the track or anything like that, I don't think so.
All right, John Service sending out Catherine Sophia in the Grade 1 Cotillion later this afternoon, trying to pull off the upset over champion Songbird. John, really do appreciate the time. You're always very gracious with your time every time I reach out to you. Appreciate that. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll get that out to you, and all the best later today with Catherine Sophia.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it. Enjoyed it.